Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, we're working through the book of Acts, verse by verse. But we're in Acts chapter 12, and we are beginning in verse 19. You'll recall that Peter was miraculously let out of prison by an angel who came to rescue him. And in verse 19, after Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace, because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. The word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Folks, Herod seemed like a really big problem earlier in the chapter. If you look back at the beginning of the chapter, Herod had James executed, had him beheaded, and then he threw Peter into prison. He was busy persecuting the believers because he found that the Jewish officials liked him better when he did that. And so even though he was a ruthless ruler, even the most ruthless rulers usually like to have the people on their side. Otherwise, they end up like previous ruthless rulers in history, deposed by another ruthless ruler who had favor with the people at the time. And so Herod was, in order to curry favor with the Jewish leaders, he was persecuting the Christians. And it seemed like a big deal if you were a Christian. I mean, what would you think if we had a government that was hostile toward our values? Hostile toward our... Oh, okay, I'm sorry, never mind. But there are times when, you know, we just don't like policy decisions. There are other times when our brothers and sisters around the world today are experiencing the peril of their lives being taken if they simply worship God. There are people whose lives are on the line for what we take for granted. And when you're in that kind of situation, it can seem as if that ruler is a really formidable problem. What do you do? Well, you cry out to God. That's what the believers here did. Now, prior to Herod being such a problem, there was another fellow who was a huge problem for the believers, Saul of Tarsus. And when Saul was persecuting the Christians, if they were like me, they were praying that God would take him out. And instead, God converted him, changed his heart, gave him eyes to see the truth faith to trust in Christ. His life was changed. He becomes a missionary spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. That's one way of dealing with the problem. Okay? But in Herod, we see another way of dealing with the problem. And that is, there came a point where God says, enough, and took him out. Herod didn't get converted. God had another plan for his life. If you were to say to Herod, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, that really wouldn't have been the most accurate statement right at this point for Herod. Herod didn't know it, but his days were numbered. And here's the thing, folks. You and I may not know it, but our days are numbered. All of us, at some point, are going to die. And God knows when that point is. You and I don't. Genetically, I should live to be about 100. That's what we do in our family. Okay? And I'll know that I'm here and where I am, probably into my 80s. Okay? That's what we do in our family. All right? We spend the last years saying, oh, I'm sorry, who are you? But the fact of the matter is, we can't plan that. Because I might get hit by a tree that I'm standing under for shelter in a storm. I say that to remind us all that life is fragile and uncertain, and we do not know how many more days we have. But God does. God knows when we're going to leave this earth. God knows how we're going to leave this earth. And in the case of Herod, it was not at all the sort of thing he would have planned. I've always been kind of taken aback when I read this passage that the thing that caused Herod's final destruction was the fact that he didn't give praise to God when the people were praising him. Now here's a guy who in this very same chapter has just killed one of the 12 apostles. If God had killed him at the start of the chapter, it would have made perfect sense to me. You know? He killed James, God killed him. Well, there you go. That's fair. I'd say, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. There you go. But God didn't do that. It looked as if he'd gotten away with it. It looked as if God didn't care, or at least not enough to do something. Do you ever feel like, okay, maybe God cares, but not enough to do something? Do you ever feel that way? Time and again. Lord, don't you understand how much this is affecting me? Don't you see all the good that would come if you would just apply your power to carry out my plan? Right? But you see, that really is not very far from what Herod was doing. Putting himself in the place of God. Accepting praise from men that put him on a level with deity. When we do it, it's understandable. When Herod does it, it's deadly sin. That's a problem. In this passage, we see that what seemed like a really big problem, Herod, was no match for God. And I want us to realize at the onset that whatever problems we have to deal with, it's not a big problem for God. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever is upsetting you, whatever seems insurmountable, whatever seems urgent, this is not a big thing for God. God isn't saying, gee, I'd love to help, but I'm really busy over here in another corner of the universe. We're birthing some new planets. Okay? And I need for you to just hang on a little while longer because I only have so much power. I only have so much intelligence. I can only do so many things at a time. And I don't have time to deal with your problem. There's a crisis in the Middle East and there's some stuff happening over in Southeast Asia that really requires my attention right now. I don't have time for first world problems. I mean, why doesn't God care that I can't get online? God, please, you can solve this. I know you can. Cause the tech support at Netflix to answer the phone. We have such crises in our lives. Now, obviously, some of us really do have problems that are more serious than that. But whatever your problem is, realize it's not a big deal for God. If God isn't doing what you want, there's an excellent reason, and that is God has a better plan. God has a better plan. I would like for my throat to be healed. I would really like to have my voice back. It would mean a lot to me. Some of you might like it. Some of you. But it would be helpful. I would want to use it for you, Lord. And yet, for some reason, God thinks this is beneficial. He's working all things together for the good of those who love him. I definitely love him. This is for my good. Well, I'll tell you one thing it does. For a guy who has relied on his voice his entire life, it makes me keenly aware that apart from him, I can do nothing. 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 So, whatever the problem, however big it seems, it is no match for God. Cancer is not a match for God. Financial crises, turmoil in the currency markets, manipulation of derivative prices by wicked people who are not interested in the good of mankind but only in profits for themselves. It's not a match for God. God can send ravens to feed his servants if he chooses. But the second thing I want us to see is, as we alluded to a few moments ago, God doesn't deal with the same sort of problem the same way every time. Saul gets converted, Herod gets killed. Don't expect to figure out the pattern. I'm thinking, wouldn't it have been wonderful if Herod had gotten saved? He could have given his testimony on Fox News. I mean, it would be glorious. God says, I have other plans for Herod. You and I are not going to be able to guess what's coming, but we will find that as things occur, it is exactly in accordance with what God has promised. God always keeps his promises. He always does what he says.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
But then I want us to consider also the poetry, if you will, of what happened to Herod. Not only was it sudden, but it was very undignified. He's trying to put himself in this exalted position. He loves having people who fawn over him and bow before him and who say it is the voice of a God. Did, did, Did he really believe that? Caesar liked to be thought of as a god. Maybe Herod was thinking he'd make a good Caesar. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, he didn't just die. He was eaten by worms. I mean, that was gross back then. Okay? The reason that's in the text is because it matters. Here's a guy who was dispatched in a grotesque, humiliating way. So I thought perhaps that referred to what happened to him after he was buried. No, apparently not. He died being eaten from the inside out. Gruesome. It was so bad the people knew about it. Word got out. Did you hear what happened to Herod? Oh, he had made this fabulous speech and all of a sudden he died and he was full of worms. Horrible. Gruesome. Not exactly the sort of thing that would make people think maybe he really was a god. Okay? I mean, it completely shattered any illusions about Herod's exalted position. He was just a man. And it happened suddenly. But I want you to see one more thing about it. God didn't even have to come do it himself. It says God sent an angel to take him out. This guy not only isn't a god, he's no match for God. An angel comes, and the angel strikes him, and he dies immediately and is consumed by worms. Please understand that man's rebellion against God doesn't in any way jeopardize God's sovereign rule over his creation. If everybody on planet Earth united together and built a tower that's going to go all the way up into the very presence of God and elevate man working together to be on a level with God, we're all going to do this together. You read that account in the Old Testament, and it's a humorous story. God says, they're saying, we're building all the way to God. And God says, boy, I better go down and see what that is they're doing. Because from his perspective, this is not some thing that's coming all the way up to his place and it's like, wow, they're almost here. No, it's like, what is that? We are tiny creatures on a puny planet in a small solar system. I mean, the idea that we would try and compete with the Creator is insanity. And so God says in the story of the tower, God says, oh, boy, if they do this, there'll be no stopping them. That's sarcasm from the deity. Okay? It's not that God was threatened. So what did God do? God said, let's confuse their languages. And all of a sudden, they can't communicate with each other. What happened?
Well, I think it's a myth regarding the fact that we have to account somehow for the diversity of people.
Oh, folks, it is a story about God being able to speak the word and change everything. You and I need to realize that God is God, that he has all power, all authority, and nothing that we do threatens him. Consider then the fact that this God would become a baby and grow up here on earth, living a perfect life, and then allow that life to be taken, beaten, spit upon, his beard plucked out. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down voluntarily. that God would submit himself to such treatment by his creation. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave the power to become children of God. Wait a minute. The infinite God becomes a little baby? Yes. So that by his death and resurrection, you and I might become one with him. That is amazing. That God would love us so much that he doesn't just forgive our sins, he completely changes everything so that now we can draw near to him. On the one hand, the reason that what Herod did was deserving of death was because God says he will not share his glory with another. Nobody else is going to reach up and put himself in the place of God. God will not allow it. But God reaches down and lifts us up to be with him as part of his family forever. Satan tried to deceive our first parents by telling them that the reason God said, don't eat the fruit of that tree, was because God knew if they did, they'd become like God, knowing good and evil. The irony is, sin separated us from God, but redemption reconciles us to God. And God exalts the humble. He raises us up to sit with him on his throne. Read Revelation 3:22. God grants for us to rule and reign with him. That is amazing. That God would not only forgive us, but unite us to himself. You see, this is not about our getting glory. This is about God being glorified in the redemption of his people. When we realize how great a God we serve and how apart from him we can do nothing and how awful our sin is, then the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus becomes absolutely magnificent in our eyes. Because we realize we don't deserve this. I've heard people talking as if they're thinking of becoming a Christian because, you know, God's done a lot for them and they really think it'd be good for them to give him a hand. I just think you are nowhere close to getting saved. Nowhere close. If you think God is just salivating with excitement because you're going to join the team, oh boy, I get that one on my side. He doesn't need us. He created us. He spoke the universe into being. It's not a situation where God is saying, oh, if I can just get a few more, we're going to win this thing. No. He's already won. He's already conquered. And he did it so that we could be saved. What astounds me is that God would save me. I don't deserve it, but I am so grateful for it. I'm so thankful that God chose to give me what I could never earn, what I could never achieve. And it's not just forgiveness. It's life, abundant, eternal life. I'd like my voice back so that I can do what I want to do. But you know, the only thing I really need my voice for is to praise and worship Him. Because He's worthy. He is worthy. He's worthy.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.